Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8. Just a few minutes, we will read from a verse in that chapter. Once again, good morning to all. Not long ago, I was changing channels on the television and came across the movie A Few Good Men. Disclaimer, not a movie I would recommend you rent and watch, but one at the very least you watch on television and with language filters, okay? This is not, I don't bring this up, please don't interpret this as that which would constitute my recommendation of this film. Simply want to use it to illustrate something by way of introduction this morning. The movie centered on the court-martial of two U.S. Marines, and there's a very memorable line in this film. It takes place in an exchange between Tom Cruise, who plays the lead defense attorney, and Jack Nicholson, a decorated Marine colonel. In a heated exchange, when Tom Cruise shouts, "I want the truth," I won't ask you to finish this exchange, but many of you may be familiar with what is said next. Nicholson replies, "You can't handle the truth." I don't bring this up because it's a memorable line in American cinematic history. I bring this up because this popular statement, I believe, accurately summarizes the attitude that most people have toward the truth. There are a lot of people today, ladies and gentlemen, who can't handle the truth. Let me explain what I mean. People today demand truth in virtually every area of their life. We want the truth in our relationships. You want the truth from your spouse? I hope so. You want the truth from your kids? You want the truth, kids, from your parents? Sure we do, and we should demand truth from one another in our relationships. We want the truth from doctors. Even if the news is painful, we want to know the truth. We want a true diagnosis of the problem so that an appropriate course of treatment can be prescribed. We want the truth from those handling our investments. Yes, this is a safe investment. No, this is not a safe investment. We want the truth from our courts. We want the truth from our employers. When we consult a reference book or manual, don't we put a lot of faith and trust that what we find in that reference manual will be true? How about when we're driving along the road and we see a warning sign of potential imminent danger? We're putting some trust that the information on that sign is true. When we pick up a medicine bottle, we're putting trust that what's on that label is true. Yes, this is penicillin. No, this is not penicillin. We assume, in fact, we insist that information presented in everyday life is true. In just about every facet of life that impacts our relationships, our safety, our health, our money, we want the truth. But when it comes to spiritual things, to issues of spirituality, religion, morality, all of a sudden many people stop wanting the truth. They don't want to confess the truth about why it is they don't want the truth. In fact, people go so far as to attack the concept of truth itself. They deny truth's existence. They deny that truth can be understood. They reject the very need for truth. They try to turn the truth into something vague and ultimately unattainable. Indeed, when it comes to spirituality, there are a lot of people who can't handle the truth. This morning, we're not here to run away from the truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You see, the truth ultimately to us, ladies and gentlemen, is beneficial, and it should not be something that we want run away from. And so we should embrace truth, but fundamental to that is a proper understanding of some very important truths about truth. That's the subject of our study this morning. We want to talk about the truth about truth. We are bombarded today with all kinds of claims about truth, as we alluded to a moment ago, that simply put, well, just aren't true. Many people would reject what we're going to say today in our study. In fact, some will do everything they can to persuade you otherwise. We need to know, we need to be confident about principles pertaining to truth. And so in our lesson today, we want to expose some of the false ideas that people have about truth. At times, We'll appeal to our own God-given ability of reason, and certainly we're going to open our Bibles along the way to see how Jesus and others felt about this important subject. So will you consider with me this morning three important principles or three important truths about truth, beginning with this. Number one, all truth is absolute. Now, truth can simply be defined as that which is in accordance with fact or reality. Now, think about that. Let me repeat that definition. Truth is that which is in accordance with fact or reality. Now, that very definition demands that truth be independent, that it be absolute and not relative. In other words, independent of time and circumstances, true for all people at all times in all places. And so, therefore, with this, truth must further be objective and not subjective. What do we mean by that? It is independent of what one knows, what one prefers, what one believes. Can I illustrate? The world was round even when a consensus of human beings believed it to be flat. The world was still round. That truth was independent of what people believed about it. Gravity existed before Sir Isaac Newton discovered it. In fact, I'm fairly certain that many people, whether they intended to or not, discovered it along the way as they tried to defy it and painfully learned they could not. But gravity existed before anyone recognized it. It existed independent of scientific verification. And thankfully, it exists whether or not I believe in it. Would you consider with me how funny that would be if somebody says, you know what, I choose not to believe in gravity. Oh, there they go. Hey, if you just believe in gravity, you'll come back down. You see, gravity exists. That is true, regardless of whether or not I believe it. I won't float away if I don't believe in gravity. And as such, truth cannot be devised, only discovered. Neither my acceptance nor rejection of truth changes it. We need to be very firm on that point. As we noted minutes ago, we live by this principle every single day until it comes to issues of morality and spirituality. And then people's outlook on truth all of a sudden changes. More to the point, many today are fond of trumpeting the notion that truth is relative. You ever heard people say that? In other words, governed by personal taste, opinion, and preference. Perhaps you've heard people say things like this: there is no truth. You heard anybody say that? Or, you have your truth, I have my truth. I've heard people say that before. Or, in similar fashion, it's true for you, but not true for me. Now, all of those statements sound very appealing. They kind of sound smart. They're very popular. But they ignore the unavoidable reality that we're setting forth here in this state, in this point. The truth is independent. Truth is absolute. In fact, think about these statements. These statements that people make about truth, that truth is relative, that truth is different per every person, those kinds of truth claims are themselves fundamentally flawed. On a practical level, they just don't work in everyday life. Would you try that on your banker? Dear Mr. or Miss Bank Teller, I would like to withdraw $2,000. After a few mouse clicks and some keystrokes, I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Kimple, you cannot withdraw $2,000. Your account has $1,400. Would I respond, well, that's true for you, but not true for me? That would be ridiculous. And that wouldn't be persuasive. How about even worse? How about if I tried that on a police officer? Mr. Kimple, do you know why I pulled you over? Regardless of what I answer, he's going to say, this is hypothetical. You did 80 miles per hour in a 50 mile per hour zone. Well, that's fine, officer. That's true for you, but not true for me. I better not do that. Better not do that. You see, we don't live our lives that way. Those statements are fundamentally flawed. As noted apologist Frank Turek points out further, these statements are also self-contradictory. Would you think about that? What he means by that is statements like this are self-defeating. They fail to live up to their own standard. You ever heard somebody say, All truth is relative. You consider how they're stating that. They're stating that as if it were absolutely true. You see, it fails to live up to its own standard. There is no truth. How can that statement stand? That's a claim to truth about truth. So how can you say that there is no truth? You see, that's a self-defeating statement. It's true for you, but not true for me. That's not a standard that could apply to everyone. These statements fail to live up to their own standards. Truth is absolute. Now, more to the point of why we bring that up today, we need to recognize that when it comes to the most important truths, when it comes to important spiritual realities. Truth is absolute when it comes to the existence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, either God exists or He does not, regardless of what I believe about that. I hope we believe that this morning. But regardless of what I believe, it will not change the fact that God exists. The Bible is divinely inspired. I believe the evidence points to that. But regardless of what I believe about the Bible, it remains the inspired Word of God. The truth exists about Jesus, regardless of what I believe about Him or not. Would you open your Bibles to the book of John? Now let's get out our Bibles. We finally made it there. We started out in chapter 8, go to chapter 5 of the book of John and verse 22. Let's just consider some claims, some truth claims related to Jesus. John 5 and verse 22, here's something Jesus claimed. He claimed to have the authority to judge us. He says, not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. Now, ladies and gentlemen, either He has that authority or He does not. But I will tell you this, regardless of what I believe about this, doesn't change the truth about it. How about chapter 8 and verse 45? Chapter 8 of the Gospel of John and verse 45, Jesus said this. He says, I speak the truth. Now, regardless of what I believe about that, doesn't change that truth. Here Jesus is making a very claim about truth, that He speaks the truth. How about verse 58? Jesus said to the Jews, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus either existed when Abraham lived or He did not. And what we believe that Jesus certainly did exist, being the Son of God, John chapter 1, being the Word. But regardless of what I believe about that, doesn't change the truth about that. Chapter 14, the book of John, verse number 6. Jesus said to Philip, I am the way, or to Thomas rather, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's a truth there set forth by Jesus. It exists regardless of what I believe about it. We could apply this to any of the miracles that Jesus performed. Chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Statement that comes on the heels of the resurrection account, the greatest miracle of all. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Those truths are absolute. Just because I may not like them does not mean they don't exist. By the way, I do like them. I do like the displays of my Lord's power. But the point is, they're either true or they're not. But we must not deceive ourselves into thinking that what we choose to believe about them will change the truth in any way. Let's look at a couple of other passages along these lines. Staying in the book of John, go to the text that Dale read for us, chapter 18, verses 36 through 38. Let's just pick up the last three verses from what Dale read. There are several things here about Jesus that are true. And they were true regardless of what Pilate thought. They were true regardless of what the murderous mob thought at that time. They were true regardless of how the disciples may have felt about it. And they are true regardless of how you and I feel about it. John 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, here's a truth, my kingdom is not of this world. The fact is, the truth is, the kingdom of God is spiritual in nature. My kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Here's another truth. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. Jesus affirms that truth. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now Pilate's having trouble with the concept of truth. He said to Jesus, what is truth? Interesting, though. He had said this. He went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no guilt in him. And that was the truth. Jesus had not done anything wrong. One other passage, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 verses 13 through 18. Matthew 16 and verse 13. Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi. He was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now let's be clear, Peter wasn't deciding what the truth was about Jesus. In other words, it wasn't him to determine what the truth was. He was confessing a truth that already existed. You see, a lot of people believed all kinds of different things about Jesus, didn't make them true. The truth about Jesus was and is and remains and will always be absolute, regardless of what you choose to believe about Jesus. You see, contrary beliefs are possible, contrary truths are not. Don't buy the lie that says that truth is relative. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. And that brings us to our second observation about truth. Second truth about truth is that essential truth is knowable. In other words, we can know what we really need to know. Now, there are things we don't know. That's a list too long to go through this morning. There are things that we can't possibly know. But I would say about those things that in the final analysis, there are things that we don't need to know. They aren't essential to know. None of us know how many stars exactly there are in our universe. We've used that illustration in the past. Now that may be nice to know, but in the final analysis, it's not something that is essential, which we need to know. The fact is, if we need to know it, it can be known. It may take effort, it may take searching, but the truth can be known. And I have in mind, with regard to this point, those things that would be considered the most essential of all truths. I'm talking about the truth related to questions that really matter. Who are we? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? And how shall we live? The answers to these, ladies and gentlemen, are worth knowing. And the truth is, we can know them. How do we know them? Well, in more than one way. One way we can know some of them is through the scientific investigation of the natural world. So we go to our Bibles in Romans chapter 1, we find that the Bible in fact commends this approach to us. In Romans 1 and verse 19 it says, that which is known about God is evident. You see, the truth about God can be known. Why? How? God made it evident to them. How? Verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood. You see, there's a knowing of truth. What truths can be known in this text? Truths about God. Truths about God's eternal power. Truths about God's divine nature. And they've been understood through what? Through the natural world. Through what has been made. So that they are without excuse. Observe, an investigation of the evidence of the natural world helps us answer a question like, where did this world come from? The truth to that is essential. The truth can be known, and Paul says in verse number 20 that not to know it. We're not just talking here about what we can or can't know. There's an obligation placed upon us. Not to know it is inexcusable. In fact, many choose not to know it. That's one of the points of this text. They shut out this knowledge. They don't want to acknowledge the truth. Verse number 18, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You see, they don't want to know it. They want to see what they want to see. They want to live the way they want to live without acknowledging and submitting to the authority of God. The fact is, the preponderance of the evidence of the natural world points to the existence of God as creator. We can certainly know that essential truth through the use of science, but that's not to say that's the only way that we can know this. God has further revealed that simply in His book. The evidence surrounding the Bible points to the conclusion that this is a book from Him, that this transcendent being is called God. It contains His revealed mind and will for our lives. The Bible tells us where we came from. Genesis chapter 1. You read that chapter, we learn where we came from. So we don't just know this essential truth through science. In fact, let me say something about that. Let it never be said, or let us never believe, rather, that as critically important as science is, that all essential truth can be only known through science. You will hear people say that today. Truth can only be known through science. So let me be clear. Science is very essential. Science certainly has been instrumental in discovering many truths that hold tremendous value for our lives. But not all essential truth can be known through the employment of science. In fact, here's another self-defeating statement. Think about that. Truth can only be known through science. Do you realize that statement itself cannot be verified or validated scientifically? So there's a truth, or a claim to truth rather, that cannot be verified by science. That's a self-defeating statement. In the final analysis, essential truth is known through God's revelation, not through science. How about those questions we cited a moment ago? Who are we? Where did we come from? Genesis 1, verse 27, God made man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Why are we here? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Why are we here? The truth is to glorify God. Where are we going? It is appointed to man to die once, and after this, the judgment. We are headed, ladies and gentlemen, straight on for eternity. That's the truth. That essential truth is known through God's revelation. How should we live? Well, let Paul speak to this. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. That's how we need to be living. We need to join ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, to be crucified with Christ, to die to sin, and to live by faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There are many things we don't know. Maybe there are things that we think we need to know, but they aren't really essential. Again, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, perhaps you could quote it. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But the things revealed, those are essential truths, belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. Essential truth is the truth that God reveals. It is God's truth. It is the sum of His word, Psalm 119 and verse 160. What is essential is what God has made known to us. But we can't stop there this morning. We need to take that a step further. Simply knowing, hear me on this, simply knowing essential truth is not enough. Truth number three about truth, God's truth is applicable. And I really mean that more strongly than it is stated on the slide. Essential truths are not just essential to know. They are made known with a view toward our application of them to our lives. We need to know the truth about God. We need to know the truth that God has revealed ultimately to have eternal life. To fail to make the application of essential truth is to deny that they are essential. Can I say that again? To fail to apply, to make application of essential truth that God has revealed is tantamount to denying that these truths are essential. If we recognize, if we acknowledge that they're essential, then we ought of necessity apply them to our lives. God tells us who we are, how we got here, where we're going, so that we would apply that, so that we would choose to believe in Him, believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, commit ourselves to living life His way. When Luke wrote to Theophilus in Luke 1 and verse 4, he said, I've written this account so that you might know the exact truth of the things that you've been taught. But that is not a means unto itself. He wanted Theophilus, and yes, anyone who reads this, the Holy Spirit has revealed that, not only that we might know the exact truth about Jesus Christ, but that we might through faith live for Him. John 8 and verse 32, remember, you shall know the truth. But there, in between the first and last half of that verse, there's an application that is implied. You will know the truth. Implied application of that truth, what's the result? The truth will make you free. God's truth is essential to having a relationship with Him. In John 4 and verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Well, if we don't know the truth and we don't apply the truth, we can't have fellowship with truth. We cannot rightly expect to come before God and worship in truth and be pleasing to Him. 1 John 1 and verse 6. 1 John 1 and verse 6. Find again the importance of truth and the application of truth to having fellowship with Him. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, why would we walk in darkness? Because we fail to apply the light of truth to our lives. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Failure to apply the truth will result in a loss of fellowship with God. Why is fellowship with God important? Because God's the giver of life. If we fail to apply the truth that God has given us, we can't ultimately have eternal life. That's what this is about. The wages of sin, Romans 6 and verse 23, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, that's a different course for our lives. This is the pathway to sin. This is the pathway of discipleship in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. Find the importance of the truth of God to eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He testified concerning His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. Do you see? God is testifying Himself to the truth about Jesus Christ. And He has done it in many ways. That's a separate study. God has testified to the truth concerning His Son. To what end? That we might accept it, believe it, and apply it to our lives and have eternal life. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. You realize you have to apply the truth of God to have the Son? Let's read that again. He who has the Son. That's somebody who's obeyed the truth, the gospel requirements. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. What would we believe? The truth. What would we apply? The truth. So that you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life is to know God, Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, and to know Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Final question this morning for us is simply this. Are you applying God's truth to your life? Now each of us has to answer that for himself or herself. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, buy the truth. There's a price to knowing the truth. There's a price to embracing the truth. Price in applying, get that right in a second, applying the truth to our lives. We must buy the truth, and after that, we must understand we cannot give it up for anything. Buy the truth and sell it not. Have you done that? You applying God's truth in your life. God gives us the truth to bless us. He wants us to commit ourselves to truth. have the relationship with Him based upon that truth that we need to have life. If you haven't made that commitment to truth, you need to make it this morning. The truth is that we need to repent of our sins if we want to have life. Unless you repent, Jesus said, you will perish. That's the truth. We must confess the truth about Jesus. He who confesses me before men, Jesus said, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. The very definition of confess implies truth. It means to tell it like it is. Well, that's the truth. The truth is, Jesus said, he who believes and has been baptized will be saved. I'm not inventing that. You can read it in your Bible in Mark 16 and verse 16. He who has done that, she who has done that, shall be saved. Person that says, don't believe that, not going to do it. Jesus says, he who does not believe shall be condemned. That's the truth. That's the truth we must obey. Have you done that? Will you do it? Will you give your best in service to him? That's what we're going to sing about. Give your best to the Master. The truth of God's word teaches us to do that. And the truth is, only through Jesus can we make it to heaven. We invite you this morning to make Jesus your Master, to walk with him. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, all things are ready for you to become a Christian this morning. If you've been straying away from the truth as a Christian, now's your time to come home. We invite you to do that now as we stand and as Dick leads us.